share your contact information with us. That's in the inside of your bulletin. You can do that and give it to one of the ushers or to Kip. Great. Also, the children are going to be singing at Christmas time. So I've given a lot of you a flyer, but it's for children ages 2 through 8th grade. You're invited to be a part of the singing. Adri is 9 years old. She's going to be heading that up. So if you'd like your child to participate and you didn't get one from me, then let me know. I think that's it.
Okay. Thanks, Jen. Well, good morning again. It's good to worship with you. One of my favorite things is to hear your voices. And I think it's one of God's favorite things, too, is to hear your voices lifted up. There's something special about, like, you can go in your room and praise God, and I think that's special. I encourage that. Go to your room and worship God, pray to God. But also, there's something special about us together being able to do this. And so I love hearing your voices lifted up in praise and reading scripture together. And so thanks for entering in with your heart this morning. If you are ages 6 and below, you are released for Children's Church. Released, maybe it's not the right word. And if you are 7 and above, we have little kits for you. So, Fred, if you want a kit to draw and color on, they've got one for you. Just raise your hand if you want one of those. What's that? Okay. You're good. All right, we're going to come to the scriptures this morning, and I'm going to have Elise come forward, and she's going to read two passages for us today. I love that we're an international. Can you hold that and read?
Yes.
Yes, good. I love that we are an international group of people here. And so I put the references for you to look in your Bible and read along or read in conjunction with what's being read. But let's listen with our hearts this morning to the Word of God.
Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as it is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And then we have Matthew 5:1-16, the Sermon on the Mount. One day as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him and he began to teach them. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it loses its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father.
Thank you, Elise. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. It's a light into our path, Lord. And so I just pray that as we gather around your scripture, as we meditate on it, as we process what you are saying to us in this time and space, and what you said to the Ephesians, and what you said to your disciples in that time and space, I just pray that you would give us a special sense of an understanding of how to live out of the love that you've lavished upon us. So we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. I start off by saying I love our diversity here at Westside Chapel. And in this room, we're white, we're black, we're Asian, we're from North America, we're from South America, we're from the North, the South, the East, the West, we're from Asia. We've lived our whole life in Greensboro. You've just moved here. Your first language is English. Your first language is Rade. Your first language is Jirai. Your first language is Spanish. You're single. You're married. You're divorced, you're remarried, you're an adult, you're a teen, you're a preteen. You were raised by a loving father and mother. You were raised in a single parent home. You were raised in a home where your father was emotionally absent. You were raised in the church. You were raised in a Christian Missionary Alliance church. You were raised a Baptist. You were raised a Methodist. You were raised a Presbyterian. You didn't go to church when you were growing up. You were raised with covenant theology. You were raised to be a Calvinist. You were raised to be an Armenian. You don't know what either of those are. You're a U.S. citizen. You're an immigrant. You have a green card. You have a student visa. You have a work visa. You'll live in Greensboro the rest of your life. You're going to move away in a couple years. You're a registered Republican. You're a registered Democrat. You're going to vote for Donald Trump. You're going to vote for Hillary Clinton. You're going to write in your brother's name on the ballot. You aren't going to vote this year. In this room, all of these things make us who we are. It represents those who've gathered here today under Westside Chapel. And yet in Christ, we're citizens of a transcendent country. Ephesians 5 tells us that there's a citizenship. Ephesians 5:5 says, an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. The kingdom of Christ and God. The kingdom of God is something that Jesus came preaching. The kingdom of God is what was the reason Jesus came to earth, to bring the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is fully experienced in the next life. And yet the kingdom of God can be experienced now. Now, Jesus came into a community, into a nation that desired, that anticipated, that expected a Messiah to come and deliver them. And he did come to deliver them, but in a way they had no idea of. They expected an earthly king to make them a world power, to restore them to the glory days. And Jesus came to bring the kingdom, with a capital K, the kingdom of God. A kingdom that can be experienced now. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, which is one of Jesus' longer teachings that we have. It's chapters 5 through 7 in Matthew. And we read a portion of that from Matthew 5 this morning. And I think these two passages dovetail with one another, and especially with the message of citizenship that Ephesians has been telling us about. Because Paul also taught of a kingdom that can be experienced now, a citizenship that we get to experience in part now, in full, on the other side of this life. But Jesus said, this kingdom is experienced now when we realize our desperate need for God. We call these the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Jesus said, we experience the kingdom now when we realize our desperate need for God and our hopeless inability to help ourselves. Our desperate need for God. Our hopeless inability to help ourselves. I don't know about you, but some of the closest times in my life that I felt the closest to God have been in the hardest times of my life. They've been in the confusing times of my life. I read the Psalms during those seasons, and I'm impressed with the psalmist and the message that the songs that he wrote, this hymn book of Israel. They're the kind of songs that we would feel uncomfortable to sing in our churches. Songs that say, God, where are you? Emphatically, where are you? Why have you abandoned me here? And yet songs that turn to faith in the midst of trial. I know for myself, when I've been in those times where I've been saying, God, where are you? Where are you? But I'm still in the conversation with God, like the psalmist. There's an element of faith where in the trial, that there are times where it's like, I don't know what the answer is, but I know somebody's holding me in the midst of this trial. When we realize how desperate we need God and how hopelessly incapable we are of helping ourselves, the kingdom of God is near. Jesus said that the kingdom of God is experienced now when we cry on behalf of the things that God cries for. Last week, I was talking to Al Benz, and some of you who know Al Benz will know this is in line with who he is and his heart. But I was joking about his crew cut, haircut, and that Jenny won't let me get a haircut like that, and how easy it is to maintain, right? And then he got real serious, and he said, I'm doing this for somebody else that is going through chemo, and this reminds me of what they're going through. And he started to cry. I experienced the kingdom of God in that moment. As he cried for the things that God cries for. The kingdom of God is experienced now when we show self-control and we don't retaliate when we're mistreated. When we show kindness when people are mean to us. I was in a Kinko's years ago. Kinko's is like a copy center where you go. Do we still do that? Do we go make copies of stuff? Do we do that? Are there Kinko's around here? Do you know what I'm talking about? You're like copy centers. You go and you'd pay for them to make copies. I was standing in line, and the lady at the register, it had to be her first day. She was making all sorts of mistakes. And I was standing near the back of the line, and it was taking forever for us to go to the register and be able to pay for our copies. And the line started to grumble. The people in front of me started to turn to each other and say, "This is crazy. What are they doing?" And it was I've done this, I'm sorry to say, I've done this at times, where you say something loud enough for that person to hear. You have someone you want to hear it, but you're not saying it as if you know that, but you do. And so people were grumbling, and they wanted her to hear that they were upset with her. And I'll never forget, she turned in such humility to everybody in the line. She said, "I'm so sorry. This is my first day, and I'm just learning stuff, and I know I'm making you stay in line way longer than you should be, and I'm really sorry." And her humility all of a sudden just changed the whole atmosphere. And the same people that were just saying, "Well, I can't believe this lady," all of a sudden were saying, "Oh, it's all right. We're not in any hurry." I understand. I've had my first day on the job too, and they were giving all sorts of comfort. But I think what happened was that the kingdom of God just entered into that moment. It was counter the attitude of what was, honestly, what was natural in that moment. It was supernatural. I don't know if she was a believer or not, but when I read through the Beatitudes, this is what Jesus is talking about. When the kingdom of God visits us here and now. The kingdom of God is experienced now when we start to care more about what God thinks, where we care about what He cares about. When I was getting married to Jenny, one of my friends who had just been married the year before said, "This is what I pray for you. I pray that you would love God most so that you could love Jenny best." And I was like, "Oh, that's good. Yeah, I like that." And so I started to pray that for myself. And I've prayed that for Jenny and I over the years, that I would love and that she would love God most so that we could love each other best. And subsequently, as I've done marriage counseling, I've told people, "This is a prayer I want you to start praying." Premarital counseling. When I've done premarital counseling, I said, "This is a prayer I want you to pray, that you would love God most so you could love God best." The kingdom of God is experienced now when we show mercy. When we show mercy. In fifth grade, I was a military kid. All my schooling years, I was a military kid. So we moved every couple years. And in fourth and fifth grade, my best friend was Lee Wagner. And I've tried my hardest to find him again. And I haven't succeeded yet, but I'm praying hard that I'll be able to connect with him again. Because Lee Wagner was a special guy. And I remember us as fifth graders out on the playground. And we had a kid in our class named Topher. His name was Christopher, but everybody called him Topher. And he was different from all the other kids. He was an easy target. He was in a class that we called the special class. It was kids with learning disabilities and kids that had mental handicaps. And so Topher fell into that category, and he was an easy target. I remember we were out on the playground. I think we were out actually on the merry-go-round. And I don't remember the specifics. I just remember that kids were taking advantage of Topher and making fun of him. And all of a sudden, Lee Wagner stepped in. And he treated Topher with respect. Respect as a human being, an equal, an image bearer, someone created in God's image. I don't know if he was thinking, in fact, I'm pretty sure he wasn't thinking all of that. But it totally changed the atmosphere. At least for that moment. And it didn't only do that, it impressed something that was a lifelong lesson in that moment. I think I stepped into the kingdom of God in that moment. I experienced it. The kingdom of God is experienced now. When you do the right thing, even when everyone is telling you to bend the rules just this once. The kingdom of God is experienced now when you confess your prejudice and repent of it. Read through the Sermon on the Mount. The kingdom of God is experienced now when we confess that we have impure thoughts and we turn from them. The kingdom of God experienced now when we're wronged and instead of getting even, we forgive, we forget. The kingdom of God is experienced now when you try to understand those who disagree with you. When you ask yourself, how would I act if I were put in their position? How would I act if I had their life? The kingdom of God is experienced now when you love someone even when they hate you. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Our motivation is Christ and his love for us. Christ loved us. As Christ loved us, we love one another. As Christ loved us, we love the world. Those that are placed in our sphere of influence. Those who we get to rub shoulders with. As Christ loved us, we love others. So I was born in the United States of America. And I was born in a very patriotic family. And I encourage you to love the United States of America. But at the same time, realize that it's not your home. If you, as Ephesians says, that you've put your faith in Christ, by grace, through faith, you've believed in Christ. You've entered into your primary existence being the citizen of the kingdom of God. And your code of conduct, the way you treat others, the way you think about others, is connected to as Christ loved you. I love poetry. My great-grandma, Burton, used to write poetry. My granddad, Burton, her son, he liked to write poetry, and he loved to read poetry, and he had a pretty big influence on me in a lot of ways. His favorite poem, if you like poems, was Trees by Joyce Kilmer. If you've never read it, I encourage you to read it. It's an amazing poem, short poem. My mom, she also used to write poems, and I like to write songs. And songs are just poems put to music. And one of my favorite poets, modern poets, is a guy named Rich Mullins, who is a Christian recording artist. Is that what we call him? Christian singer. He passed away 15, 20 years ago. But some of his songs, if you just read them without the music, are amazing poems. And he writes a song called The Land of My Sojourn. And I want to read to you a portion of it. It says, and the lady in the harbor, she still holds her torch out to those huddled masses who are yearning for a freedom that still eludes them. The immigrants' children see their brightest dreams shattered. Here on the New Jersey shoreline, in the greed and the glitter of those high-tech casinos. But some mendicants, I had to look up what that word meant. It's like a religious beggar. They wander off into a cathedral, and they stoop in the silence. And there their prayers are still whispered. And I'll sing their song. I'll sing their song in the land of my sojourn. Nobody tells you when you get born here how much you'll come to love it and how much you'll never belong here. So I call you my country, and I'll be lonely for my home. And I wish that I could take you there with me. Nobody tells you when you get born here how much you'll come to love it and how much you'll never belong here. Sojourn means temporary home. We, my friends, are in a temporary home. We need to live with that understanding on every level. This is the land of our sojourn. We're just passing through. So, love your home country. Love America. But remember, it's your temporary home. Pray for America. But remember, it's your temporary home. Vote if you feel led to vote. But remember, this is your temporary home. And you're part of a country that transcends this country. You're part of the kingdom of God, and we're just passing through. Verse 7 in Ephesians 5 says, be careful who you partner with. Be careful who you put your hope in. I think I can say this with some sense of truthfulness, that neither the Democratic Party nor the Republican Party are motivated by Christ's love for all people. And that the United States of America is a kingdom with a small K. A kingdom with a small K. Don't get confused between the kingdom with the big K and the kingdom with the small K. If you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, your primary citizenship is that of the kingdom of God, another kingdom. So Ephesians 5:15 says this. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Nobody tells you when you get born here how much you'll come to love it and how you'll never belong here. In this room, we're white, we're black, we're Asian. In this room, we're citizens of the kingdom of God. So Lord Jesus, we come before you. We acknowledge that in you we have found life. We've been brought from death to life. In you we were alienated. We were aliens. Illegal aliens. And in you, we've been made sons and daughters. We've been made citizens of the kingdom of God. Dear God, forgive us for confusing kingdom with a small K and kingdom with a big K. Forgive me. Lord, we pray for our leaders. We pray for this coming election. We pray your kingdom come. And most of all, I pray for us here in this room that we would see your kingdom here and now as we walk as Christ loved us. As we love as Christ loved us. We need you, God. As a country, we need you. As a church, we need you. As Westside Chapel, we need you. Mm-hmm. Would you stand with me? Let's close with the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Go with God.